deep. It's headed for Reiser. It's intercepted by Deion Sanders. What a catch!
Braves on the freeze option. Wants to run the pitch. He's hit. Dropped by Marvin Jones. Sacked to the backfield.
It is my honor to announce the winner of the 1993 John W. Heisman Memorial Trophy, Charlie Ward of Florida State University.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Really Something I Ain't Done in a While. It's the Legends Lounge. It's where, you hear everybody with the NIL want to talk to these newer guys, but I want to shed light on the ones that really laid the foundation for all sports at Florida State. And tonight is no exception. We're joined in the Legends Lounge by a former Viking from Northside High School in Lafayette, Louisiana. Really, in my eyes, a true pillar of the Florida State baseball program. Played catcher for the Noles from 95 to 98, was a four-year letterman, two-year starter, was drafted in the MLB draft, 19th round, I believe it was, in 98 by the Philadelphia Phillies, Mr. Jeremy Salazar. Jeremy, welcome to the Legends Land. How are you doing?
Man, it's great to be with you guys. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, I mean, you helped lead the Seminoles to the College World Series in 95, 96, 98. You were first-team All-ACC in 98, I believe it was. First-team All-American honors in the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association. Second-team, just a slew of awards. Like we say, you was drafted by the Phillies in 98, but kind of I'm going to kick it all off. You know, starting, you know, young age, you know, we all had that influence growing up. I was a baseball player. I'm pretty sure Matt, Patrick, we all played sports. We all had an influence. Who influenced you growing up to play baseball?
One of the things that I always go back to is my dad was a softball player, and they played, a few hundred games a year. Literally, they would have like tournaments and they would play these games. And I was probably, since I was 5 years old, I was on the field with these guys, and they, you know, these grown-ups are a lot bigger than me, but they were making me, you know, throw and hit and run and do all the things I needed to do. And just gradually got a love for it. I just, you know, always watched baseball on TV. Didn't play video games. We always played outside, and we had a neighborhood full of kids, so we were always doing something. If it was baseball season, we were playing baseball. Basketball season, we were playing basketball. And football season, we were throwing the football around and tackling in the yard and getting, you know, full of grass and everything. So, back in the day, video games weren't quite as popular as they are now. So we didn't do a whole bunch of that. We did have a little bit of Nintendo back in the, you know, probably the 80s or so. But a big deal was just being on the softball field. My dad, and he was teaching me how to hit the baseball, how to catch the baseball. And, he coached me probably up to high school. And once I got to high school, of course, he wasn't a coach in high school, but he was always there for us. And, him and my mom even my grandmother back in the day was throwing me soft toss in the backyard. So just a big family deal. And like I said, you know, back in the day, Atlanta Braves on TBS was always a big deal. So we got to watch all the old guys, Dale Murphy's and that whole bunch. So and even my A-ball coach was Ken Obergefell, which was a third baseman for the Braves for like 14 years or so. So that was pretty cool to have one of my idols grow up, and he was my manager in low A ball with the Phillies.
Yeah.
So that was definitely the big deal was my dad, mom, you know, helping out and pushing me through.
Yeah. I mean, my dad, you know, we spoke earlier, my dad, you know, he had that belief, you know, you played football to be in shape for basketball.
I think I lost your audio, Jeff. Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I mean, I'm gonna let you kick off the kind of round table.
All right. So I got a couple of questions for you, Jeremy. Yep. My first one's going to be, what was it like playing under Coach Martin? You know, I never got to that level. You know, I got to, I got to middle school ball, and that was it. So I'd love to hear about what it was like to learning a legend like Coach Martin was.
Yeah, sometimes you look back and you wish you would have appreciated the days a little bit more than I did. I was always thankful as all get out to be part of the Seminoles. And, you know, between Coach Martin, Chip Baker, Jamie Shoop, and all the staff we had there were just was remarkable guys. And you'd see them on TV for years and years. And, you know, as a catcher, I'm sitting at home plate while he's doing instruction. He's hitting ground balls to the infielders. He's working with everybody, working on bunt defenses, bunt coverages and whatnot. And it was just remarkable to, you know, look back and say, I played for the guy that has more wins than anybody in the history of college baseball. And, you know, he was instrumental in part of the ending of my career. I'll never forget. We were playing at Mercer, and he called a early batting practice for me and one of the other guys. I think it was Scott Zetch. And we get on the field, and he said, you know, I was pulling off the ball. I wasn't hitting the ball to right field like I needed to hit it. And so he got me an open stance. I don't know if you remember, there was a guy, Jay Buhner, that played for the Seattle Mariners, and he was a wide open stance. I mean, his left foot was literally down the third baseline or further and standing straight up. So he got me on the field for probably an hour, hour and a half, and we're taking batting practice, and I'm hitting the ball well. So I get into the game that night scared to death because I'm looking out at the pitcher and I'm facing him dead wide open. And my first at bat, I dribbled a ball down the third base line and beat it out for a hit. So I was like, well, one for one, I'll take it, you know. And I came up again, I think my next at bat, and I hit one about 4:30 to right center field and hit it out of the park. And I was like, well, he's got something going here, you know. So I went up like 3 for 5 that night. And from then on, you can look at the numbers. I don't remember what they were, but I was probably hitting about 380 for the rest of that season, the last half to three quarters of the season. And it took over my senior year. I came out of the gate hot. I was hitting probably like 420, 430 for most of the season. I kind of, about a three quarters of the season, I kind of got in a slump. And but finished up well. And you know, we got to Omaha, played pretty well in Omaha. As a team, we kind of struggled a little bit defensively. But yeah, he was just, you know, I owe him all that credit because I would have never in a million years tried to have an open stance and swing the bat like that. But he's definitely one of the best I've ever seen as far as teaching the game. I don't think there's anybody else. We got pro ball, and, you know, we were doing drills, and guys were wondering, where do we come up with this kind of stuff, you know? And we're like, this is what we're taught in college. And some of these professional coaches, you know, couldn't believe that we were taught that at that age, you know. That, so they, I guess they were expecting to be more of a professional league experience. And we were doing it every day for 4 years. So I was very grateful. Nice.
Yeah.
What's the biggest difference you see between like your day and your era? Obviously was different kind of bats, but in today's era, like what's the biggest difference besides the bats? Anything?
The bats, yeah. I think the small game, the short game is a little bit better back when we played. I mean, I recall my freshman year, JD Drew's hitting balls over the circus. And, you know, Coach Martin wouldn't play him because he wouldn't, his butt game wasn't there. And he was like, if anybody's going to play the game, it don't matter how far you hit it or where you hit it, if you can't lay down a bunt with, you know, in a crucial situation, we're not going to put you on the field. So Steve Netto was another guy, came in and he would play. And, you know, JD would sit the bench here and there. And then all of a sudden, you know, he learned how to bunt. And then you go to his junior season and JD was laying down base hit bunts because they were playing the pool or whatever it was. And he would lay down a base hit bunt right down the third base line and get on, you know. So he taught the game. He made sure you knew the game. And you know, that was – to me, that was one of the big differences. Now, you don't see a whole lot of bunt in the game these days. And I know the analytics and, you know, the game has changed tremendously in that aspect. But you look at some of the other teams, you know, I would be willing to bet Link Jarrett's going to have a couple of base hit bunts or he's going to have some sacrifice bunts this season, you know, as they move along. But, yeah, you know, I look back, I still have some of my bats I played with back in the day, the old Easton bats, and you know it's the materials are different and all that. Like you said, it's a different ballpark in a sense, but you still got to put the barrel to the ball. So you know, in that aspect, I think it's very similar, but it's certainly fun to watch. You know, I was at the game opening weekend this past weekend and got to watch these guys play.
you know, they still got to do the exact same game as you had before. You know, some of the rules changed a little bit, but for the most part, it's the same.
So you kind of read my mind. Like, how, one of my other questions was, how often do you get to go see them play? Sounds like you get to go at least once a year.
Yeah, I actually try to make two trips in the fall for football, two trips in the spring for baseball. And my kids are both two girls. They don't play sports as far as on the softball side, but we love watching the Seminoles. They've grown up watching them, and you know, back in the day, they knew all their names probably. But we try to make as many as we can, and we go up and, you know, mingle with all the fans, and Mr. Bill Smith's one of the big boosters at FSU. We go to his suite and hang out with him, and we always go, you know, see Chip Baker and all the guys that have been there for a long time. So it's fun to get back to Tallahassee and spend some time there. And, you know, the stadium right now is as good as it's ever looked. I don't know if you guys have seen some of the pictures and footage of the field, but it's beautiful. They've done some really great things there, and I'm looking forward to getting back there hopefully in April. So,
yeah. Patrick, you got anything?
Yeah. Your years, my prime years of watching baseball, you know, I was always going to the College World Series, Omaha. I just made it one of my bucket lists. I'm going to Omaha the next time we go there. So hopefully we go soon. But you alluded to one of the things I was looking at. I was like, how do you see the team this year? I mean, you were there. We were talking beforehand. I only got to watch it via Twitter over the weekend. So what are you seeing in this team so far? I mean, it's only three games, but.
Yeah, they played. Actually, I watched the game last night on TV against Jacksonville, and they're really hitting the ball well for this early in the season. I know the pitching may not be as good as they're going to see in the ACC, but they've shown they can hit the ball, hit some, you know, get guys on and hit and get, you know, put the balls in the gap. They have I think it's Cam Smith, the third baseman. He's a big star that's, you know, from high school that's coming in, and he had another home run last night. So we've got four games in, he's got two home runs already. So he went opposite field last night, so he's swinging the bat really well. They're a fun bunch to watch, man. I'm telling you, they got a bunch of young guys, and I think there's only like three or four returning starters, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that, but I think there's only three or four starters back. Everybody else is new. There's a ton of freshmen, and it's looking great for the future. And you know, this season with Link at the helm, you know, he's a stickler for detail, and I definitely look forward to watching this whole season. I got ESPN Plus yesterday, so I'll be locked in for the rest of the year.
Same here.
Yep.
All right. Looks like I got to add that then.
Like I said, Link is you know, I got the, you know, I was an eighth grader when he was a senior at FSU, so we came in as freshmen. And of course, he's from Tallahassee, so he was he would come work out while he was playing with the Rockies. So we got to spend a lot of time with him. And Brooks Batteau was my, you know, we're both here from Louisiana, and we came in together. And he was a starting shortstop right behind Link. So Link was always on the field with us, helping us out, you know, taking his ground balls that he was doing for preparing for his season. And we got to know him pretty well through all the years. So definitely look forward to his tenure here at FSU. You know, he's a it's almost like a. He's been around the block. He went to, you know, different schools and of course, the latest Notre Dame, and he's done a heck of a job, man. He's a two-time national champion, coach of the year, and to come in to FSU with what he's given as far as the players and the fans are behind him. So we're all excited for his reign here at FSU.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Patrick.
I was saying the other thing was, you know, obviously Omaha has probably evolved a lot since you've been there. But what was the best experience you had out at Omaha?
So one of the best experiences that you could ever imagine, or is doing something that you did well for yourself. But in 95, whenever we're down 2-1 to Oklahoma, and we got, I think it was Scott Zetch on first or second base, and JD comes up and hits a ball out of left field, and we win 3-2 with a walk off in the bottom of the ninth inning. I mean, that was the most unbelievable feeling in the world. I mean, if we felt like we were jumping 10 feet off the ground. You could see the video. I mean, everybody was just ecstatic. We didn't have a clue, or we didn't think, you know, at that point JD was good. We didn't know who JD was, and that was he just left his legacy and his mark on the game that season, because you know, he hit three home runs in the next game, or two games later against USC, I think he's still the only person that ever hit three in a season. So, but that was definitely one of the most exciting in the world, man. We had a blast. And in 98, I think we were playing Arizona State the first game. I hit a two-run homer early on, which was nice. And then hit a grand slam later on that same game to go ahead. And then defense kind of killed us. We didn't play very well on the defensive side of that game. They came back and beat us, I believe, 12-11. So, yeah, it was Omaha, you know, Rosenblatt Stadium is always, you know, everybody's watched it on TV for so many years, and I've never been to the new stadium yet, but I'd love to get there. Hopefully if FSU gets there in the next few years, we'll definitely be there.
Yeah, I think with Link at the helm, you mentioned it, Link really – he stresses that old school style of baseball, mm-hmm. You know, fundamentals. I think Ron Washington says it the best, you know, the difference between, you know, professional amateurs, a professional will do it until they can't get it wrong. You know, an amateur or a kid will do it until they get it right. And yeah. I think Link, cause I think James Tibbs was talking about, like, they've done thousands of like just two strike hitting scenarios.
Yep.
And that's something that hurt us last year. I mean, was strikeouts and just bad pitch selection at the plate.
Yep.
But we've mentioned Omaha, and like I said earlier, you helped the Seminoles to the College World Series in 95, 96, 98, but in 97, that was kind of y'all were on that doorstep.
Yeah.
That, and you know, that, the memories of that game, I mean, nobody can say it better. I mean, what was the mindset for that series?
So, in 97, the game against Auburn, I'm assuming you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the first game, I believe, that's the first game of that series, y'all lost, I think, 8-7, I believe it was. And Chicago Cubs manager now, I mean, David Ross.
Yeah, so,
David had the hit.
Yeah, so David and I were actually teammates in Cape Cod the summer before. Before that, so after my sophomore year, we went to Cape Cod. We played in Brewster, which is the whole league is amazing. To you know, play in the wooden bat league in college, you get to see the best talent in the country come in, get invited to play in this league. And so David and I were actually really good friends, and we're still good friends to this day. So he was playing. I think the catcher had gotten hurt on Auburn's team, so he came in, and he might have had one or two home runs on the season. We were up, I think it was 7-2 going into the ninth inning, and they chipped away a couple of runs, and then one of my best friends, Randy Niles, comes in and gets an out, and then so they had a couple of guys on base. David's up at the plate, and I want to say he fouled off about 10 or 12 sliders in a row, and the second to last one or so was fouled off and hit me in the leg. And I hunched over, and the whole crowd went bananas because they thought I caught the ball. Well, it started trickling out between my legs. So the next pitch was a hanging slider, and David hits it out of left field. And, man, it was the most backbreaking, heartbreaking thing we've ever been through, for sure. So now it puts us in a loser's bracket, and we got to come back and play South Florida that night. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember the score, but we probably won 3-2 or 4-2, something like that. We were just – everybody was down. It was really hard to get back up. So game, we got to go into the finals. We got to beat Auburn twice on the Sunday. Well, it literally rains the whole day. We don't start the first game till probably 6 or 7 at night, maybe. And so we wound up winning that game, I think 5-3 or 6-3, something like that. And we got to go to the finals. And of course, Auburn had some good pitching, and they came out and they beat us that game. So it was kind of heartbreaking. I was probably one of the better teams. Between my freshman year and that year was probably the two best teams we ever had at FSU. My 4 years, and we had pitching, we had defense, we had hitting, we had it all, and we just got beat by David Ross in that one series, that one game. This was back before the Super Regional, so it was a four man regional.
Yeah, I mean that first game against Auburn. I mean, if you could give a game ball to anybody, you would have had it, because, I mean, you were cooking the first game of the last day that Sunday against Auburn. Right. Yep. You had like five RBIs. I think you blasted a three-run home run.
Yeah,
I went 9-7.
Yeah, hit one over the Green Monster in right field, right center field, and we're playing well, and we had a chance. And it's just like I said, it's Tim Hudson, the great All-American, all everything. He played in the big leagues for, what, like 17 or 18 years or whatever. He was on the mound that last game for them, and Coach Mark was trying to hype us up. He's like, you know, talking like his arm is hurting. Look at him. He's out there just trying to give us some hope and, you know, knowing how good Tim was. And I tell you what, to this day, I don't know if I've ever faced anybody better than Tim Hudson. He had balls that were, he had a split finger. He had a sinker, a slider, a cutter. I mean, he was all over. It was hard to, you know, to line one up against him. And, you know, definitely fun to play against him and all. But, you know, we sure wish we'd have been in Omaha that year. That would have been a heck of a year. And then we wound up losing all our guys. You know, we lost JD. We lost Randy Niles. We lost a ton of guys, Jeremy Morris, and guys that were instrumental to us getting there. We got to start over again to see who's going to be who's going to take over those spots for the next year for the 98 season. So it was definitely tough going. We basically did the same thing twice. So our freshman year, we lost Doug Mikavich, we lost Jonathan Johnson, David Yocum, Mickey Lopez. We had a ton of guys that were gone. So 96 was very questionable about how we're going to do, how we're going to bounce back from losing all these guys. And we played well and did the same thing, got to Omaha 96. And then, like I said, 97 should have been the year that we could have had a chance to win it all, and we didn't even make it there. So it's baseball. You got to go out there and play the games. It's not on paper.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, you look at what, just like you said, you know, 97, y'all lost everything, yep. You know, weapons wise, kind of the same way Link walked in this year. You know, he's having to rebuild with the transfer portal and all that. Kind of looking at your playing time in the Garnet and Gold, what was one of the like biggest memories that you can take away from your time at Florida State?
Man, there's so many of them. It's hard to pinpoint them all. You know, you look at the games that we won. You know, Mike Martin Jr. hits a bomb against Miami in the bottom of the ninth inning to beat Miami. I mean, being a Seminole, there's nothing better than beating Miami or Florida in the bottom of the ninth of anything or any sport. You know, I remember that. I remember another one was Clemson. My freshman year, I pinch hit. I think Clemson was number one or two in the country. We were number one or two in the country. It was a battle in Tallahassee, and they had Chris Benson and some of these big arms, big names, and we went up. I went up getting a game winning hit in the bottom of the ninth on the Sunday in the all gold uniforms back in the day, and Mongo was on the mound with the broom, sweeping the pitcher's mound for a big sweep after beating Clemson three games in a row. So those are some early memories that I had, you know, at FSU, and then you know you go through. All the years we go down to Miami, we played well sometimes. Sometimes we, you know, we swept them there, and just so much fun to do the traveling, to, you know, to be with Coach Martin. And you know, I was fortunate enough to play with Mike Martin Jr. as a teammate of mine. And then he was gone, he played 2 years of minor league ball or so, and he came back and he coached me my senior year. So I got the opportunity to know, you know, meet pretty well from all the years of being on the field with him and learning a lot from him. And this most of the stuff is priceless stuff. You can't put a price on it. You know, being on the field with Coach Martin and listening to him, you know, coach a game, listen to him when a guy does something wrong. It doesn't matter if we're winning 15-2. He's gonna discipline him. He's gonna show him what he did wrong. He's gonna teach him. He was a professor, a teacher of the game, and it didn't matter what situation it was. He was always there to make sure we knew that we did, you know, the outcome might have been right, but you didn't do it right. He's going to make sure you did it right. So he's a teacher of the game, and you know, that's about the best thing you could think of. But he was out there to raise young men to be men, and that was probably, when it's all said and done, that's what a coach's job is to do. He's there to win, but he's also there to make guys you know, be husbands and fathers and you know, just in general, good men in society.
Yeah. I got a good one for you real quick. Yep. If you could have played any other position at Florida State other than catcher, what would it have been?
Man, I'd have been a shortstop or second baseman. I was at the Mighty Vikings, Northside Vikings. I was an all-state shortstop as a freshman. And I guess my sophomore and junior year, whatever. So what happened was my coach, one of my coaches in high school, his dad was Mel Didier, which was a GM of the Dodgers at one point. His brother played in the big leagues as a catcher. So my junior season, I flew to Tampa, went to Dunedin, where the Blue Jays had their fall instructional league and their spring training and whatnot. Worked out with his brother for a couple of days and tried to get, you know, acclimated to catching. And I go back to FSU baseball camp as a catcher. And it, from then on, it was it. Chip Baker took me on, and he told me he's the reason I got to FSU when it's all said and done. Chip was a man. He's still a great friend of mine. He was a great coach of mine. And I owe pretty much everything to being at FSU to him. He saw the talent in me. I threw a guy out stealing in one of the inter squad games for a baseball camp, and he saw me hit a little bit, and he's like, if you want to be here, I want you here. And I said, I want to be here, you know. So that's pretty cool to look back at those stories, and we still have he still remembers it just like I do, you know. So he remembers the day that he saw me and I saw him, and that was it.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of touches in. I was going to ask, what was the whole recruitment like for you, the whole process?
Yeah.
Was it clear cut, Knowles all the way, or was there?
It was. For me, it was. I remember seeing FSU on TV as a kid, watching them in Omaha. And, when the recruiting process is a lot different nowadays. They have, all the videos and this and that. So we had to go prove ourselves. So at baseball camp at FSU, there was 420 kids or whatever, and you got to try to make yourself known, So, once you prove your point, you get noticed. And then from then on, it's just basically the phone calls. How's your grades? How's your ACT scores, SAT scores? What are you going to do to prove to be here? You want to be here? So I went on my recruiting trip, and after that, I was sold 100%, and we left, my parents and I left Tallahassee with, whatever we can do to get here, we're going to get here. And I was offered some money to go, and my parents were all in on it. And from then on, it was it. And then knowing that Brooks Batto was one of my best friends, and he had already signed in November, I signed in the spring signing period. So we had this is going to be awesome. We're going to be roommates. We're going to have a blast in college and play at one of the best universities in the country. And we had a blast doing it, man. It was really cool. We lived in probably the worst apartments in Tallahassee. We got the true college experience, so it was pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, we're all big fans of every sport really at Florida State, but we're going to switch gears from baseball just for a smidge.
Sure.
What's your outlook on the, on football? They, 4 years really that we were down and out. This year, Coach Norvell's turned it around. I mean,
I love from a former. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm a huge football fan as well. We were there for in New Orleans this past year for the opening game against LSU, and being from here in Louisiana, it's I hate to say it, but it was great to see us go beat LSU. And one of the things that hurt the most was the game was kind of over, and with the, LSU started coming back, but half of their fans had already left the stadium, so it was like they were almost. They were hanging out at the bars down the street, I guess, watching it on TV. So, but it was it was exciting as all get out. And Coach Norvell has been fun to watch. I love his passion on the sidelines. I love his passion. He's very similar to Coach Martin in that respect, where he's always coaching, he's always teaching. You can tell he gets some guys' faces, but he's also, telling them they got to do this. It's a team effort. It's not just an individual. And with that many guys, he's really got guys that are bought into the program. And it's super fun to watch. I mean, I just, this coming season, I'm excited to open up against LSU again. And hopefully, both teams are coming back. They've had great, LSU had a great year last year. And with Jordan Travis coming back, man, anything's possible this team. I tell you, this is one of the portal has done a lot for us to get some offensive linemen, to get, some defensive backs. And it's going to be a fun year to watch.
Yeah. Well, that leads me to this one. During your playing time, how much did the baseball team and the football team mingle together?
Well, they were in the Burt Reynolds Hall, so we didn't really, you know, we all had the same weight room, so we would see them guys coming and going in and out. So it wasn't like a huge hangout deal, but we always had the you know after parties after the games, and some of the guys would come over to whatever after party it was, you know, whoever rented houses and stuff. I know the there was one on Loveless that Loveless Lane and right up in Tallahassee, not far from the stadium. We had numerous parties there after the games, and but you know we had class with all the guys. You know, so you were in school with them, and then you know after games or here and there you'd see them out. So I wasn't friends with a ton of them, but I did have a bunch of guys that I knew. And matter of fact, I think it was a 95 Sugar Bowl. One of my classmates, he was a redshirt freshman, and he had some tickets, so he left tickets for us at the gate for the Sugar Bowl. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Guys, y'all got anything else?
I got a closing question for you. So here I was from Louisiana. So what's your favorite Cajun dish?
Oh, man, I tell you what. It's between either boiled crawfish or crawfish etouffee. Those are my two favorites. I don't eat them very often, but when I do, I save it for a delicacy kind of thing because I don't want to do it every day. And the price of boiled crawfish is a lot more expensive than you'd think. It's almost like getting a ribeye at Ruth's Chris or something like that. It's expensive, but those are my favorite two dishes there. You can even do like a red snapper or a redfish with the crawfish etouffee on top of it, and that goes down pretty well.
Yeah.
Speaking my kind of language right there.
Yeah. Yep. Patrick, you got anything, buddy?
No. A couple of y'all snag what I want. I got to hear the good things. Thank y'all for coming out. I appreciate it, Jeremy.
Yeah, man.
Y'all gave us some great memories when y'all were playing. Awesome. At least I'm old enough for them. I know Matt. I don't think Matt is, but I was old enough for him.
A little bit. Towards the end.
Well, I've got one last thing before we go. And yep. Jeremy, we spoke about it. Most baseball games have at least a fight in it every now and then.
That's right.
You know, just involve, you know, a little pushing and shoving. But you were probably part of the most memorable brawl in baseball history on July 3rd, 2001.
That's right.
You know, we spoke about the Pawtucket Red Sox was playing, what was it, the Scranton Wilkes Bear Red Barons.
Red Barons, yep.
And, yep. Red Sox outfielder, was it Izzy Alcantara? I got it.
Yeah.
You know,
Alcantara, I believe.
He was good. Yeah. The reports I've seen says he got brushed back by a pitch. He got mad. We know, you know, me and you spoke, so we know the real story.
Yep.
But he pulled his best Shawn Michaels, Ninja Turtle, Power Rangers, and just unloaded on the catcher behind the plate for that game, which happened to be you.
Yeah.
I just want to know, what the hell happened?
Man, it was I mean, I guess you get rid of me before you go get the pitchers. All I can say, he knew he was getting hit. The inning before, 2 months before, so he hit two bombs off of Brandon Duckworth. Brandon was he pitched with the Phillies and the Yankees, I believe. I think he's a scout for the Yankees now. So he hit two bombs off of Ducky, and they were about 450 dead center field, and it took him about 30 seconds to get to first base. I mean, he just pimped it as hard as he can do it. So he gets around, and his next at bat, Pete Zamora, which was he pitched at UCLA. He might have played a little bit in the big leagues, big lefty. He hit him square in the rib cage, and so we had a little bit of altercation there, but it didn't get past that. So we, you know, move forward a couple of months or so, 6 weeks. We go to Pawtucket. The 4th of July is the next night, and they were out of town, I believe, so they were doing a big fireworks show. So what I was told, that was the only reason there was cameras in the stadium at that time. So anyway, we're up by whatever it was, 8-3, 9-2, something like that. Jason Michaels, which was a good friend of mine, he played for University of Miami, I believe center field. He's on our team, and he gets plunked. I mean, just gets smoked in a rib cage also. And so he comes in. I get my shin guards on and chest protector. I'm heading out. And Mark Bombard was my manager. And so he actually had a daughter, Janet, that went to – Florida State a few years behind us. He wasn't a big FSU fan, so him and I got along great because he was a big Florida Gator fan. So we picked on each other a lot. So his basically his phrase was get one. So I knew exactly what that meant. So first two guys get out, and I look over and I see Izzy walking up. I'm like, oh boy, here we go, you know. So so he comes out, and of course I give the pitcher the sign, and he throws a fastball away. And I'm like, you know, if he'd have missed, he'd have missed up and in or something like that, but he missed pretty far out. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe he didn't want to hit this guy, give him the pinky to the outside corner. He doesn't want it, so I give him the finger to the inside corner. And I said, well, here we go. So he throws this pitch, and it was only a little bit up and a little bit on the left side, on the inside of the plate. And I guess he knew he was getting thrown at, so he just jumped and kicks me and takes off. And my roommate at the time, Kevin Ory, which he played with the Cubs for a while, he was he goes and tackles a guy, and as all hell breaks loose, literally, we had a, you know, you're just looking to see who's swinging on who, who's pulling somebody back. We had one of our coaches on the ground with a headlock on some guy and trying to pull him off the other guy. So it's total chaos at that point. If anybody's been in a brawl of any type like that, it's chaos. So it's been almost 23 years now, and the sports writer that we had back then, he was our PR guy, was actually he moved over to, I guess it's part of the Boston Herald. And he called me a couple of years ago. I was actually in St. Pete on vacation with my family. And he said, hey, we're doing a 20th anniversary article on this whole deal. So he wrote an unbelievable article, interviewed probably 8 or 10 of my former teammates. He interviewed about 4 or 5 of the guys from Pawtucket, and just an absolute awesome, awesome report, man. We had a blast doing it and just kind of reminiscing. His name is Chad Jennings over at the Athletic in Boston. So that was pretty fun to read it over and just kind of go through the whole scenario once again and you know, think back all. And it's still – I still get people texting to me. I still get people say, man, I saw you on TV last night on one of the blooper shows or whatever. And it's just – it's something that probably won't ever go away, you know. So it's pretty fun. I've learned to embrace it.
Yeah. I mean, your own little corner of – baseball history.
That's right.
You're part of. So I mean,
that's right.
Get it how you can is what I, yeah, what I say.
Yeah, I don't think it ever happened before, anything like that before. Maybe down south in the Dominican or something like that, but it's never happened on camera like this before. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The Dominican might cut you. they might have pulled a dagger knife out.
Yeah.
But Jeremy, that's gonna wrap things up. For everybody awesome. Watching, everybody that did watch, we appreciate you. Like I said, this is the Legends Lounge. We try to show our love to the ones that laid the foundation and laid the pillars to the university. The ones before the NIL and the nice buffets when they were, like Jeremy told me earlier, eating the leftover hot dogs and hamburgers after the games and the cheap tacos and yep. The ones that really paved the way for every athlete to wear the Garnet Gold today. Guys, appreciate you. Keep watching, keep tuning in. Go Noles.
Go Noles.
30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Florida State.
Right to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Florida State. He's got PK Sam open, he makes the catch, yeah! Touchdown, FSU.